This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Yes, I am your host. I don't know why I'm talking in this weird voice. I'm going to make my voice normal. Sometimes it's hard to change your voice, and sometimes it isn't. How about this? This is good. I should have done voiceovers. You know, I feel like I want to talk to someone who has some experience in this voiceover business because my voice is quite incredible, I think. No one else does, but certain people who do voiceovers, they become really well known. Well, known for their voices, but also known for other things. And that's why it's so important to talk about someone who is an Emmy Award actress, a novelist, a playwright, a podcast host, a producer. Has appeared in TV, film, and on Broadway, and is not just a recognizable voice. We are so honored today to speak with Yardley Smith. We want to talk to Yardley about a new movie she has come out. She's producing it from Paperclip Limited. But some of you might know her as the voice of Lisa Simpson. Yardley, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much, Alan. I can't tell you how excited I am to be on a podcast hosted by a real lawyer.
Oh, come on. A real lawyer. Your podcast is amazing. I was listening to it, and it's so interesting. First of all, it's got a very engaging name. And, you know, your co-hosts Dan and Dave are really, you know, interesting characters who have a lot of experience in crime. And I'm talking about small town dicks, and I'm allowed to say that. You say it on your podcast. It's been like season 14, and it's such an incredible, interesting show. Before we talk about possessions, tell me quickly, since you brought up podcasting and you're an expert, 14 seasons, tell us about Small Town Dicks.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we are 14 seasons. We do two seasons a year. So we started in 2017.
I'm bad at math.
And me too. That's why I had to think about that. And all of the cases on the podcast are told by the detectives who investigated them. So detectives Dan and Dave, who are identical twin brothers, and Dan actually is now my husband.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah, that's fairly recent, isn't it?
It is. Our second anniversary actually is in on the 11th of June, but we've been together for 10 years.
And you can tell them apart, right?
I can, but you know, it's funny. If you look at baby pictures of them, or up until probably about, I don't know, 16 or so, really, only their mothers could tell them apart. Only their mother could say,
wow,
oh, yeah, that's Dan, that's Dave. They were so identical, especially as babies. And
Yardley, I love the website for Small Town Dicks where it has a picture of Dan and Dave. And it's not a picture of them. It just says, he looks like him and he looks like him.
Yes.
It's funny.
And originally we did that because Dan and Dave especially was still a sex crimes and child abuse detective when we started the podcast. And so we only do cases that are adjudicated, but a lot of our guests are still working in law enforcement. So we anonymized, you know, we didn't tell you where the crimes happened.
Right, right.
We didn't tell you anybody's real name. And now it's changed a little bit, but we always leave it up to the detective. You will never hear from us where this crime took place or who the actual victims and suspects are. We really leave that up to the guest, but we're really proud of it. I have to say we get the most extraordinary mail from our listeners. People disclose, I mean, you don't know, Alan, stuff like you helped me leave my abusive husband to,
wow,
I finally was able to disclose my abuse as a child to people in law enforcement saying, this is an incredible podcast. I've made it part of my training for my recruits. So it doesn't really get better than that. We're very humbled and grateful.
It's amazing when you can do such important work and affect so many. It really gives you such a rewarding feeling. And you've been doing that your whole career. There's so many things. And we're going to talk about possessions in a second. But let's just talk about The Simpsons, because I want to talk about how that also translates into so much, you know, entertainment that you've given so much. So many people have really loved that show over so many years, since 1987. And we don't have a lot of time to talk about how you got started on, because I know you were going to audition for Bart, and then you maybe your voice was a little high. But what kind of satisfaction do you have for so many years of entertaining so many onto such a great show?
It's incredible. I always say one of the best parts of playing Lisa Simpson is that wherever I go in the world, if people already know I'm the voice of Lisa Simpson, or they subsequently find out, they are so happy to see me. It's like the best icebreaker, welcome wagon, anything. I feel like, and I'm a bit of a nervous traveler. I'm not afraid of flying, but I like to be familiar with my surroundings.
Right.
So
right.
It really helps bridge the gap when I'm in a place I've never been to before, but also enormously gratifying that something that I love doing has actually affected people I've never met before in such a profound way.
You know,
hear all the stories from, you know, you helped me through a hard time, to I took saxophone lessons because I love Lisa Simpson, to I felt empowered because I'm, you know, a straight-A student, all the things. So I really, it's just like the cherry on top of the cherry.
You know, first of all, Yardley, I don't know what it feels like when people see me and get happy and excited. When they see a lawyer, typically, that's not the case. So I'm really quite jealous of that feeling. But I know what it's like, because my kids, when they do see me, they get happy. So you're experiencing that all the time. And,
yes.
You know, like you say, you know, starting saxophone, my son plays saxophone, not because of you, but, you know, vegetarianism. I'm sure there's so many people where you kind of validated that and they and change their lives.
100%. And the great story about that is Lisa became a vegetarian in the episode where Paul and Linda McCartney guest starred. And they said they would only do the show if Lisa stayed a vegetarian for the length of the series. And I feel like that was maybe season 10 or maybe even a bit earlier. And everybody's like, yeah, no problem. You know, what do we got? Another few years. And now here we are, season 36. And they've kept the promise. And
wow.
I love it.
You know, when you talk about Paul McCartney, do you ever see these people? I know you're doing voices and they're cutting and editing together. Do you ever see some of the celebrities that have been on and obviously making demands like that?
Yes, once in a while. I will say it's much less frequent now because of technology, but we did have the great pleasure of recording with Lady Gaga, who came to the studio. We used to record all together like a radio play before the pandemic, and she came into the room, and she was so gracious. She was so willing to try anything and everything, and it's a very specific process. We do each scene 4 times, and then if they still don't have what they need, we'll do pickups. And I think if you're not used to that, you think, what am I doing wrong? It's like, no, it's not you. It's just the way it goes. It's just the protocol. She was fantastic. And I went to New York, actually, very early on in the series, in season 2, to record with Dustin Hoffman in person, and that was huge.
One of my heroes since The Graduate. I think that would be something to be with him. Was he a nice guy?
So nice. And it was, you know, it's so much ad-libbing, and the shame of it is that we're only a 22-minute show, and so most of it didn't make it in, but it really created a bond. And for anybody who doesn't know, the premise of that episode is Lisa gets a crush on her substitute teacher, who's played by Dustin Hoffman. And so there's a scene at the very end when he has to leave. He's going on to his next job, and she's on the train platform bawling, waving goodbye. And I was literally, I could hardly catch my breath. I was crying so hard.
Wow. That's amazing. We got to take a quick break. And after the break, we want to talk about the movie Possessions. It's a horror film and really scary. I mean, it's almost like a combination of The Shining and Cujo, The Exorcist, all of the horror films that I grew up with. Very scary stuff.
Yeah, it's your worst nightmare if you have kids.
Yeah, thank you. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
We're speaking with Yardley Smith. Yes, of course, we talked about Lisa Simpson and all of her voiceover work. And of course, we talked about her podcast, Small Town Dicks, which you have to listen to. It's really great. And I think it's a project of passion for Yardley, and I think she'd agree with it. But now, Yardley, I want to talk a little bit about this film that you've done called Possessions. And people think maybe it's a horror film, maybe it's a psychological thriller. I like talking about psychological thrillers because for me, I'm a philosophy major. I took a lot of psychology courses, and I'm not really into horror per se. What do you consider Possessions? And tell us a little bit about the movie.
Possessions is... I think it's a horror film. But more on the psychological thriller side. It takes place in a storage facility, you know, where we store all our junk that we don't actually have room for, which I love about it because it's such a familiar place, and much like Jaws did to the ocean, maybe Possessions will do for storage facilities. You know, it's your basic demons possessing your children kind of thing. If you're a parent, it will surely be your worst nightmare. But it's a lot of fun. I play a psychiatrist trying to help this dad and his son overcome the weird things that are happening at their new business, which is the storage facility. I won't tell you anything else, but it's great.
We hear your voice, and everyone knows your voice. You sound so sweet, and you sound just like this very friendly, smiley, happy person. And here it is, this horror film that you've done, Possessions. Did you want to do a horror film, or why would you want to do a horror film?
You know... Why did I want to do a horror film? I don't really choose my jobs sort of like, okay, now I need to do a horror film and check a box there. And actually, I did a movie way back in 1985 called Maximum Overdrive, which was a Stephen King movie, the only film that Stephen King actually directed. And, you know, for your listeners, it's kind of a silly film, but it's a classic. It's a cult classic. A comet passes through the atmosphere of Earth, and then all the machines go haywire. So I'm a newlywed. I play a newlywed named Connie from the Deep South, and we all get stuck at a truck stop, and we are trapped by these huge semis that are circling the truck stop and want to kill us all. So, you know, when Possessions came up, my company was producing it and co-financing it, and I always try to do a little Hitchcock drive-by, and everything that we make, I don't always succeed. And in Possessions, I actually get a little more than a drive-by, which is so much fun. But Look, I like to be busy. I love to work, and this sounded like a lot of fun to me.
That's really interesting, Yardley. Now, I know a lot of people would love to see this movie because it sounds pretty interesting. I mean, you talk about a storage unit. I'm a big fan of storage units, and maybe not so much as the way things unfold in the movie Possessions, but I've, in my day, have had to rent a lot of storage facilities. In fact, I'm getting choked up about it because my mom passed away and I went to Canada and we weren't able to get rid of the condominium yet. So I had to put stuff in a storage unit. So I went there. But now, thinking about Possessions, I'm kind of freaked out about going to the storage unit where my mom's stuff is. But let's leave that alone because I think it's better to just see the film and see what happens. How can people see the film? And I know there's so many films out there. There's streaming services, video on demand, the HBO and Netflix, broadcast. Everything is getting spread out so thin. But there's ways to see these movies. You just have to know how. Tell us about how people can see Possessions.
So I would love people to see the film. You know, it's an independent film, and a lot of the success of those movies when you don't have a giant studio behind you are word of mouth. So I'm excited for this opportunity to tell your listeners that they can go rent it on VOD. So I think you'll really like it if you like that sort of thing. You know, it's not a walk in the park. Oh,
it has been such a pleasure having you on the show today, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, telling us about your projects, talking a little bit about The Simpsons, which everyone loves. What a show. I mean, historically, it's legendary, and your voice is legendary. So I really appreciate hearing your voice today on Gervie's Law. Good luck with Possessions and all of the other projects you're working on. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Alan. This was really a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
So in the last few minutes today that I have to rant, I want to talk about a play that I saw last night, which I've seen many times in the past, and it has always impacted me, especially given the week that I had this week as a lawyer. Let me start by saying that I spent much of this week arguing and fighting with other lawyers, and sometimes judges, as I tend to do, as I advocate for my clients. And I try to prevail upon people to do the right thing. That's my motto. And to get things accomplished. But sometimes it becomes very frustrating because I run up against lawyers who continually lie. One, especially this week in a deposition, didn't stop lying. And he was twisting facts and pursuing issues that were not issues, was delaying. And it really burned me up to the point that I was so angry that it was hard to control myself in the deposition, but I managed. Hey, wait a second. Didn't we all just see a debate that there was lying and manipulation and ad hominems? I guess that debate this week really mirrored life, mirrored my job as a lawyer where I get frustrated. But I digress. Let's talk about the play that I saw last night. So it was To Kill a Mockingbird, a play that I've seen many times, and it's just a really great play. If you haven't seen it, read the book or watch the movie. It's from 1960. It was written by Harper Lee, and I don't just like it because the writer has the same name as my 10-year-old daughter, Harper. But it is an exploration into morality and doing the right thing and pursuing justice in the face of what probably would be considered very bad behavior by others, something that we always or sometimes experience in our daily lives. Bad behavior by others. How do you address that in your own life? While things may have changed since 1960, the morality of the protagonist in the play To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch, is still very poignant in today's world. Atticus Finch is very unpopular in his town in the play because he's defending a black man who has been accused of raping a young white girl. But through it all, through all the criticisms that he receives for being a lawyer with some moral fiber, he maintains calm. He maintains his morality, his dedication and commitment to doing the right thing. And he maintains an ability to not be frustrated or show disdain against all these people who are racist, who are immoral, who are disingenuous, who are generally bad people. Yet he still gives them the benefit of the doubt. He still is able to see them as human beings who have some value. I don't know how. He tempers his anger against them. He explains to his children that maybe they don't understand the things that they should, and maybe they had a bad life, or maybe they just see things differently. But he doesn't necessarily criticize them or go crazy against them. He gives them the benefit of the doubt. He sees the best in evil people. How do you do that? How do you do that, and how does it not affect his lawyering? Because certainly this week, it affected my lawyering as I became unhinged a few times in some depositions when I was being lied to, when I was being bullied, which I don't accept. Can't stand being bullied. I'd rather people stick to facts and evidence and law and not bullying. How does this affect our real life? How do we maintain a calm? How do we not get angry? How do we not get frustrated like Atticus Finch when we know people are lying, when we know people are immoral, when we know people are manipulating? And I'm not just talking about the presidential debate. I'm talking about life in general. For instance, every day I go home, I have to take a street where the cars turn right onto another street and it gets backed up, really far backed up. And it takes me an extra 15 minutes to get home because I have to wait to make this right turn. And what do you think people do who are coming up beside me and beside other cars? They try to cut in. They don't wait. They don't do the right thing. We're all waiting to make this turn. But there are people who think they don't have to wait and they cut in. And yes, I'm going to be honest, I try not to let them cut in because I know that they are just trying to avoid doing the right thing, following the rules, doing what we're all doing. And by cutting in, they just cause me to be later and later. What would Atticus Finch do? He'd probably let them in. He'd wave to them and say, hey, it's okay. Maybe you had a hard day. Maybe you have to get somewhere quickly. Doesn't matter. I'm good with it. Not me. I mutter under my breath. I see the worst in people. And I really don't know how Atticus Finch does it. But maybe it reduces his stress. As in the play, he seems to have a good handle on his stress. Is it better to see the best in people, even though they are dishonest and evil? I've often said on the show that my focus is on doing the right thing. That's what I studied in college in philosophy, doing the right thing. So all I can say as I close the show today is I'm going to try to see the best in people, even evil people, even manipulative people, even deceitful people. Maybe, just maybe, I can be a better person, be more like Atticus Finch, do the right thing, but still maintain a calm and less stressful persona. And maybe my life will get better. Why don't you try it this week, folks? Let me know how it goes. That's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you get your social media. And visit us at gervieslaw.com. We have all of our podcasts from the last, 12 years. There's certainly something that you want to listen to, but lately we've been doing some great shows. Want to see you? Go to gervieslaw.com, also kbc.com. Go visit whatever website you want. And have a great week. We'll see you next week.